Let me say a word or two about the types of society into which the individual has been initiated to give a sense of some of the mythological imageries, and then the problem we face today. There are two great orders of mankind. The order that might roughly be called the primitive order, illiterate, non-literate societies, and that order that emerged from the Middle East and the development there in the 9th or 8th or 7th millenniums BC of societies based on agriculture and animal husbandry, where rather large social groups could develop on a substantial food base, not foraging for food, but cultivating food. This developed specifically, we know, in the Near East about 9,000, in the period 9 to 8,000 BC. Now, in the earlier foraging societies, all of the adults were equivalent adults. They all had control of the whole culture good. In these new societies, where substantial communities became gradually larger and larger, we have a differentiated social structure. We have professional priests, professional governing people, professional trading people, professional artisans and peasants, part people, each in control of a certain portion of the heritage. And these people had to lead a life in harmony with people of a totally different kind. This brought about a whole new problem, psychologically, sociologically, and every other way. Now, looking first at the primitive people, these are of two quite contrasting orders. In terms of mythological dimensions, we can say that one order is that of those people living on the animal plains, where the principal food is animal food. This food is procured by the men. A masculine psychology prevails, a psychology that recognizes efficiency, that recognizes competence. The man who can kill the mammoth is of more worth than the man who can't. So you have a respect for the individual, for individual prowess, for individual powers. And the female is in a subordinate position. Furthermore, this act of killing, killing, killing all the time asks for a psychological protection. And here comes the mythology. The mythology comes across, namely, that there is no such thing as death. Those animals that you kill will be back again. This is a basic hunting mythology concept. If you return the blood to the soil, the life is passed on and the animal will come back. This still continues in the kosher laws of the Hebrew tradition. The blood must be poured forth. The Hebrews were originally hunting and herding people. And this is the mythology you find among the Caribou Eskimos of Central Canada. The animal is regarded as a willing victim who offers himself to the weapons of the hunter with the tacit understanding that a certain ritual will be performed that will enable his life to be returned and he to give his body again. In contrast to this hunting world, we have the world of the tropics, the primitive tropics, where the principal environment is not animal, but plant. Where the principal food is not animal food, but plant food. Where the principal food is not gathered by the men, but by the women. Furthermore, the female, as the one who gives birth and nourishment, is analogous, in a certain way, to the earth, which gives birth and nourishment. And so the female, rather than the male image, prevails. Furthermore, anybody can pick a banana. So power and skill counts for nothing. The individual isn't worth what he was in the other world. Larger groups, emphasis on the society. And finally, a rather horrendous image. Namely, and this is something that one beholds in the forest even, let alone the jungle, out of rot, out of decay, comes life. And the wild idea that since life comes out of death, then to increase life, increased death. And it's along that equatorial belt that we have these rites of sacrifice, human sacrifice, animal sacrifice, a bloodbath of sacrifice, in order to bring forth more and more life.